We're ready.
Okay, do we call the roll?
We have
the regular work session for the Oregon City Commission for Wednesday, 5/6/2020. Call roll, please.
Commissioner Rocky Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Frank O'Donnell?
Here.
Commissioner Denise McGriff? Commissioner Rachel Lyle Smith?
Here.
And Mayor Dan Holliday?
Here, here, here. Okay, so I don't have the agenda in front of me. Katie, why don't you take it? This is the public works facility?
Yes, we have agenda item 3A. It is May 2020, Oregon City Operations Complex Development Project Update, and it's John Lewis.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Lewis.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. So tonight we've got Gerald Maroney from Plan B, who's our project management firm or owner's representative, and Brandon Dole from SEA or Scott Edwards Architecture. The two of them have put this together and are doing the presentation in its entirety. So which one of you is starting? Jerry's going to start.
You haven't let Jerry start drinking it, have you?
I saw no indication of that, Mayor. So we're going to jump in here as soon as Katie gets us going. You'll want to step up and have a seat, Jerry. Be sure and introduce
yourself.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission. First off, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. As John said, I'm Jared Mulrooney. I work with Plan B Consultancy. And we are your project managers for the new and exciting operations complex development. Tonight, I have the pleasure of Brandon Dole from Scott Edwards Architecture attending, and we are both going to present the project update for yourselves. We last met and presented on the 5th of February, believe it or not. A lot has happened since then, both in design and outside design. And also over the last 12 weeks or so, we've had the pleasure of Commissioner Frank O'Donnell joining a number of our meetings, both in person until we went into semi-lockdown, and also virtually. And his input into both the design and development of this project has been tremendous and valuable. So over the next 40 minutes or so, myself and Brandon, we're going to discuss design update and current status. We're also going to talk about the project budget and give you an update there. We're going to talk about the project schedule and the next steps for us and the design team moving forward before we kind of turn things over for questions. So with that being said, I'll pass over to Brandon and he can take it over from here just now.
Good evening. Brandon Dole, Scott Edwards Architecture. Just want to make sure you guys can hear me. Am I coming through okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for having me tonight. This first slide here is a project overview. If you recall from our last update, this is fairly consistent. So it talks about the city project team and also the design team, none of which have changed. So I'm going to move quickly into the design itself. Project update. So we have submitted our land use application. That went in mid-April. We are currently in the completeness check period. Recent conversations with the planning department is good. It looks like we are going to be deemed complete and start moving towards their staff report. We are 100% complete in conceptual documents and have moved through schematic design. Our most recent submittal package in terms of a deliverable is the 50% design documents. To complete to that point, we have conducted a interior finish workshop and also an MEP workshop. MEP meaning mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. We have recently, within the last day, received the 50% cost estimate. which all indications the work up until now in terms of estimating and VE efforts have all been validated. And then we will go into a little schedule update and talk about some of the social distancing impacts.
Hey, Brandon, watch the acronyms. So be sure to say the acronyms.
Thank you. So here's the site plan in front of you. Since our last discussion and update, there's been a few changes that I want to highlight. So between Katie and myself, we're going to try to indicate those on the screen for you. So the major change that I want to point out is the objects here in the middle of the screen. These are existing buildings. Yes, thank you, Katie. That is an existing warehouse building and then a loading dock. In our previous update, those two structures were slated to be demolished and removed from the site. We have since made the decision to keep those in place, which we can go into. We'll go into further rationale and reasoning once we get into the actual budget update. But the main change here is for you guys to notice that we are keeping more of the existing facility intact and repurposing those facilities. The other change would be in adjunction to that, the keeping.
Can you explain a little bit more why you are keeping those two buildings?
Sure. When we, the main reason is, you know, maximizing the existing facilities. So when we weigh the cost to demolish those facilities, in terms of the effort to then just repurpose them, it's more cost effective to repurpose them. These facilities would have been constructed within the warehouse rather than inserted into an existing facility. So our previous floor plan actually had, this is the sign shop and chemical paint storage. We had originally identified this location in the warehouse. Yes, thank you, Katie. For these components to be constructed. When you weigh constructing those components and the additional cost to remove these, it's not as efficient. Hopefully that makes sense and answers the question.
It does, thank you.
Okay, the other big change here is this portion of the existing site. Previously, we had a large ramp that we were going to construct here. We've removed the ramp and since gone to an approach where we actually just regrade this area, regrade it so that it is grades up to the existing floor elevation at this line right here, Katie, the exterior. There you go. Thank you. So we are going to slope this entire portion of the site up to that floor elevation, which is a nice design. We are redirecting some of the natural stormwater flow in the site, but we still are going to use most of the existing infrastructure, but still ramp up. This makes it easier for vehicle circulation and pedestrian circulation. It also contributes to the reuse and repurpose of these buildings here that we're talking about. The other major change that I'd like to point out is previously we had a placeholder on the site in approximately this area here for a vehicle wash bay. With the existing infrastructure in the site, the utilities that are in the ground that wash bay would have to tap into, the wash bay is just better suited to be brought into the building. So right now, rather than it being an exterior feature, we are proposing to construct that in the warehouse building in this area down here. This wall that you see here would be that containment area for the washing that goes on in that area. Another change that you may not pick up on graphically, but previously, this portion here, these are the first three structural bays of the existing metal building, the warehouse. We had previously proposed removing a good portion of this building within these three bays. The intent there was to create separation between the office building and the fleet maintenance, and then also provide circulation from the east and west sides of the warehouse building. We've taken a step back. Our proposal now includes simply creating large openings on the west and east face of the warehouse so that we still get that circulation across the building and through the warehouse into the fleet maintenance, but keeping a lot of that structure intact. Right now, graphically, the orange that you're seeing in the plans indicate the actual condition enclosed spaces. So even though this is gray and graphically it may read open, it will have a roof overhead and it will be predominantly enclosed. A few minor things that might be worth pointing out is we've identified some areas for backup generators. We've added and refined in an employee staff patio with some executive parking. Most of the work that we presented previously along the frontage of the site, that area in between the office building and First Street, is primarily the same. We have more detail that we'll go into in this area, but no major site changes since we last spoke. So some of the main amenities: visitor staff parking, trash and generator enclosures, exterior boot wash washdown areas. We've enhanced some of the landscapes, and then we also are providing some security lighting. Any questions? Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Are the green areas on your design, is that existing landscaping or is that all proposed?
Great question. A lot of this is existing planting areas that we are proposing to replant. So actually bring the plant selection and species up to conformance. I am going to highlight this area here. Katie, if you could follow me. If you guys are following, this new fleet vehicle and equipment parking area currently is a large landscape area. This piece we are going to remove. We're proposing to remove it, pave it, and use it for parking. That is the major change from a landscaping perspective. The rest that you see pretty much exists today on site with some minor modifications.
So the change, I presume, was so that you could use more of the property versus being taken up with landscaping.
Correct. Yes, that's absolutely correct. Our very first presentation to you guys started out by saying that the site itself is just undersized. If you recall, we're at 4.79 acres. We would like to be 8 to 10. Obviously, we're not, and that's not a possibility. So we are trying to maximize as much as the site as possible for parking. Parking not only for the fleet and equipment for the operations group, but also the fleet for the engineering staff, for the park staff, and also visitor parking. It's a little difficult to really say whether we're accommodating all of the needs from a parking perspective. We're dealing with seasonal parking fluctuations. We're dealing with a large, extensive equipment fleet. So right now, our approach is let's just maximize the site to the extent possible. And we're pretty much at that point. If we're maintaining vehicle circulation around the site, fire access, the parking layout that you see right now is probably the most efficient that it can be.
And the parking canopy that says future, I guess the canopy is planned for a later date or just can't be accommodated right now? Is that what that means?
That is correct. Yes, ma'am. Right now we're saying that this project, we are carrying costs to put a lot of that infrastructure in the ground. So we're looking at running conduits for future power supplies to the canopy because, you know, canopy, we would want lighting in it down the line. And we're going to put foundations in the ground. The idea there is that when that follow-up phase approaches and occurs, you're really just looking at those components for the canopy that are above grade. So a metal canopy building, ideally they would come out and, you know, it's much like a Tinker Toy set. They would assemble it and install it on the foundations we have currently. Any other site-related questions?
Can you talk a little bit about the land use application?
Yes. So land use...
I understand your variances.
Variances?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. So right now, currently, we're still working through those. I say that with an asterisk, Denise, only because we have submitted our application, and so we are right now in that process where we're confirming our variances. We know we have three. One for landscaping of the entire site. Right now, the municipal code requires 15% of the site be landscaped. It currently The existing conditions achieve that benchmark, that 15%. With the reduction of that large planting area to accommodate the fleet, we're probably closer to about 8%. So that's one big variance. The other variance that we have requested is regarding parking landscape. So as you know, you have just a general site landscape requirement, but then when you also are adding parking areas, those parking areas have their own landscape criteria. So we've asked for a variance in the fleet and equipment areas in this fenced yard where, you know, they're not necessarily vehicles that are contributing to your min and max allowed. And so that we're asking for that leniency. There has been questions, just to kind of clear my first hesitation in providing an answer, that variance is being questioned right now. We have two solutions. We can designate this parking or we can designate this storage. There are implications and ramifications for either designation, and that is what we're working with right now on planning. What is the best solution in terms of designation? What puts us in a position that staff can be supportive of and also gets us a variance that all of the mitigation, all the variance criteria can be met? The final and last variance, so three altogether with this application, is the variance that we're asking the allowance to continue the use, the ability to have parking between the face of the building and the street. So if we were constructing this building new, we would have to construct a building within 5 feet of Fir Street. Since this is an existing facility set back approximately 70, 75 feet, we're nonconforming. So we are asking the ability to continue this use, to continue to allow us to have parking in that area. Hopefully those three variances are at least are understood.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Any more site-related questions? We have a lot of visualization we want to show you, so we'll go a little bit further in detail on the site. But if there's no more questions, I'll continue.
Commissioner Smith has a question.
Great.
Hey, Katie.
Yes.
Katie, I have my participant screen up now, so I can do that.
Okay.
Thanks.
You got to unmute, Rocky. Rocky. Muted.
Commissioner Smith.
You must be clicking unmute at the same time.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I can.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I was muted for a minute. So my question is a general question regarding the current site of Public Works versus the new site. And because I don't know all the details in all the work that has gone into this design. So I just want to know, is there any site use or component that is at the current site that is not planned for at this site? If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I believe I'm following the question. I will try to answer, but I may default to Jerry or John.
It's John's question.
Okay. Yeah, so I would my response is storage, right? So at the current, if I believe I'm following the question, you're referring to the operations center at Center Street, correct?
Correct.
So storage. If you think about the Center Street site, it's a fairly large site, right? When you talk about the acreage, it's probably closer to that desired 8 to 10. So some of the storage needs in terms of bulk storage, vehicle storage, some of that may remain. But in terms of the office and the admin spaces, I don't see any of that remaining. If we can get through the end of the presentation, when Jerry talks a little bit about budget and where we are, right now we're hopeful that we can bring over the entire fleet maintenance facility. And we'll show you that tonight. That may be something that, depending on the result of our presentation, we may have to talk about. But outside of storage, I believe everything would be accommodated at Fir Street.
That's correct.
Okay, and the reason, of course, I'm asking that is there is a lot of huge questions that the commission has been discussing over the last few years that are geared to that exact question on what's going to continue. We haven't decided at the commission what's going to happen with Public Works' current site at all. And so not knowing that, those details affect every single one of those conversations in the future. So I think it's really important that we really clearly know all of those details.
Yes, understood. I'm very familiar with the Center Street development, as Commissioner McGriff knows. The one thing that I did want to point out is decant. Decant is a component that would be worth pointing out.
So just to clarify, we've heard pretty loud and clear that the idea to do as much as we can with this site. And so we are moving as much of our operations into this site, including parks operations. And so the warehouse lends itself well to a lot of the kind of undercover storage that we need. This site's limitation is really acreage for parking, and we're doing a fabulous job of squeezing a lot of vehicles onto this site. But there's going to be those seasonal kinds of equipment. Brandon mentioned kind of a decant facility. I'm glad that we've got some capacity for a wash rack here, but you know, the seasonal equipment, the non-daily drivers, those kind of things, we're still focused on the Center Street lower yard. It's either that or find another piece of property somewhere where we can manage that equipment and build those kinds of facilities. But we have done all we can to get as much as we can onto this site. And parking, especially, you know, just employee parking, visitor parking is still something we're kind of working through. But it's really just under 5 acres. And so we're doing the best we can, Commissioner Smith, to do move everything. I would like all the staff to be in one location. So I'm really pressed on wanting the fleet to be at this location, the fleet department to be at this location. In doing that, it just means that we've got less opportunity for things like bin storage, pipe storage, those kind of things, and the non-daily drivers. We're going to run out of time if we don't.
Yeah. So I'm going to get moving to some of the eye candy, and then we can get to Q&A. So next slide here. Here's the first floor plan. This gives you guys an idea of where we're putting all the money. So you can see here to the left, the office building. Floor plan has pretty much stayed the same from what you guys were presented last time. We've gone through work sessions on how many cubicles versus enclosed offices, and at this point, feel we're at a healthy balance. But this kind of shows you that built-in enclosed area and the work that we're doing along First Street. Next slide, here's the second floor. Again, very, very familiar to you. Second floor is engineering with a little bit of area, I believe about 3,100 square feet held over. It's this brown area that's hatched. That is held for future expansion. And when I say future expansion, I intend to mean future expansion beyond the next 30 years. So we firmly believe within the floor plan you see that is proposed to be built should handle the projected growth for the next 5 to 30 years. That growth would be accommodating and densifying the work areas. And then, so here's a little visualization. Katie's going to switch the screen here. We want to show you a little bit of a fly-through that will hopefully give you the entire picture of the site design. So the other one. Thank you, that. Number one. Simulation one. Yeah. So this simulation, you're going to start from the east of the site. You're looking down First Street, and you're quickly approaching that south facade. The south facade in this project is where we're really putting a lot of the money. This is the public face of the building. This is that connection to First Street. So you can see here that the public plaza that we're creating, along with that new drive aisle that's connecting the remaining two site access points. Monument signs, architectural lighting, bollards, benches, bike parking, all of those public pedestrian amenities in that plaza.
Can you pause that?
Katie, can you pause that real quick? Thank you. And then from
you're gonna need a flagpole.
Say that again?
You're going to need another flagpole.
A state flagpole?
Yes.
Yes, sir. So one thing I will throw out, this is a working model. So I should have started with that.
Talk about colors. And
yeah, this does not talk colors. This does not have materiality implied. It's really to give you the shape and size and the components. This is literally a working model we use to create documentation, but it was a real quick solution to give you that big picture. So we're going to continue the simulation. So as you pan out.
Jerry should have caught that, by the way.
He did.
As you see here, this you can really see the existing warehouse really remaining, highlighting that opening that we're creating for the vehicle circulation. You can see here the implied yard, that fenced area here to the left of the screen. Once this simulation stops, I'll bring up a graphic image that highlights these pieces. But you can see the way the site works. We're going to create that new driveway to the right along First Street, create that new public plaza. That's where all the visitor parking will be. Signage will be directing visitors to that area. And then you will have the enclosed secured fenced yard. Next slide here. So here's that diagram, if you will. So the green arrows highlight that main access into the site. If you could imagine a loop around the back of the warehouse, that's the main route for vehicles to travel through the site. We'll have a loop internal to the warehouse, and then you can see all these different components. The boot wash station, the sign shop being plugged in, the existing fuel island, fleet and vehicle and equipment parking around the perimeter, removing that existing landscape island, and then keeping these three staff parking pretty much how they are, and reconfiguring that portion of the site there between FIR and the office building. Here's that public plaza. Part of our effort to bring the site into conformance was removing that existing middle driveway we've talked about previously. When we remove that driveway, we're gonna regrade this area, connect the remaining two access points, and create this plaza you see here. Right now, we're projecting a dozen different pedestrian amenities to enhance the fact that we are actually creating a plaza. And then we have this final fly through to show you. This perspective, this is simulation two. This perspective would be as if you just shown up to the building and you're coming to a meeting to the engineering. Maybe if you're approaching from the sidewalk or if you've parked in the parking lot once this gets going. So you can see again, we're coming from the sidewalk. Everybody from the sidewalk pushes down this accessible ramp through the plaza, through the lit bollards, and a little area that is carved out for that, you know, that true plaza feeling where you can pause, have a moment, have a lunch. You can see some of these different amenities like the bike rack, the main entrance, how we frame that. And then you're approaching this two-story lobby space. If you guys recall from the last presentation, we're providing two lobbies. One for the operations, which is here on the first floor you see in front of you. In that double height space, to the engineering lobby on the second floor. The intent here is to make sure the building feels welcome, open, but yet still provides that security. A citizen, someone from the public, would only be able to access the building as far as these lobbies. To get beyond the lobbies, you have to have a key fob or be brought through by a staff member. And just a couple slides here, and I'll hand it off to Jerry. Oh, I guess that's it. That's the last one. Let's see here. I'm going to back up a little bit. So this ramp here. This is a component that Jerry's going to talk about a little bit when he goes through the budget. But this component here is really the main accessible connection to the building without coming to the building through a vehicle, if that makes sense. So if I'm a person that needs an accessible ramp, if I don't come to the building by my own vehicle, which I park in a handicapped spot and approach the building, I'm going to come through this ADA ramp. The interesting thing about the ADA ramp, it's to us, it's a feel good. It's something that is right for the project. It's something that we feel we can provide, but it is not necessarily required by code. When you look at state building code, the state building code regulates accessibility within the building itself. Oregon City's municipal code states that any site work needs to be within the state guidelines for accessibility. So there's a little gray area, and we always, when we approach these facilities similar to this, we're always asked, hey, is this required? And it's a yes-no answer. It basically comes down to a level of comfort with the owner. There's a certain inherent risk when you don't provide certain accessibility elements to a building, but this is a component of the building that could still be scrutinized, whether it's needed or not.
I think we're all fine with that.
Okay. So at least that the understanding is
clear. Can I get a head nod?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you talk about the front piece of what's going to remain and how it, just a little bit about the, you know, the walls and where
yeah.
the doorway is now, that kind of thing, so that they get
yeah.
a sense of.
So when we talked, you know, from the artistic architectural perspective, from the design part, you know, providing an office building that meets all the program, meets all this, you know, the requirements for energy efficiency. To me, that's fairly easy. What we want to do is put all those pieces together and make a really nice development. So when we approached this building, and once we got to the point where we had convinced John and the rest of the stakeholders that repurposing and renovating this existing office building was the right move, our goal was to show them that we could actually create a new building, right? When you approach this site, if you're familiar with it, on the day one when we move in, it looks completely different. But we want to pay homage back to the fact that it's in an industrial area. It's, you know, a very large industrial building. The main component of the site is that metal building warehouse. So when we looked at the design, the main design driver for the office building itself, we wanted to make it office. We wanted to make it industrial and still warehouse. So that building, its original structure was a concrete tilt warehouse with a small metal building component to the north. That existing concrete tilt right now is still going to be our primary structural component to the building, and we want to celebrate that. We want to put that on display. So in this image right here, Katie, if you can follow my dot, this vertical two-story wall right here that Katie is highlighting is the south portion of that original tilt structure. So the intent here is to scrape it down, hopefully get to a finished concrete appearance, and put that on display right at the front, right at the main entry of the building. The opening that you see to the left of that concrete wall is the existing opening for the overhead door that sits on site today. So the reason we're pointing that out is we want you guys to know, particularly with the upcoming discussion, that we are trying to use every component of this building. We are trying to maximize every dollar that we have and get the best bang for the buck. This building, the office building itself, has had four different renovations over its lifespan. And the documentation isn't even accurate to the way they constructed the building. But given that, we're able to use a lot of those pieces, maintain the majority of its footprint, work within its current square footage, provide you that expansion beyond 30 years, and then give you a brand new Class A office building.
Thank you.
With that, I'm going to welcome Jerry back up to talk a little bit about budget, unless there's no other questions.
I don't see any.
I have my hand up.
Nope, I'm good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner O'Donnell.
I want the commission to note the ADA accessible ramp only because I want you to know that in the discussion, that represents a $50,000 expenditure for that. And I'm told that there's no getting around it because of requirements, so we need access from the sidewalk to the building. I want the commission to know that I did ask if there was alternatives, like another entry, an accessible entry, a handicap or ADA entry where they could park immediately adjacent to it, and I was told that's not an option. And that back and forth ADA ramp exists because of the change in elevation from the street level down to the building level. So I think Jerry may touch on that, but I wanted to comment on it while the drawings were in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner McGriff, did you have something?
No. I said right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Mr. Mulroney.
Okay. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Okay. So next next portion of the presentation is to talk about our project budget. This first slide that I have in front of you all here, you've seen back in February when we last presented. Basically, we took John's 11.4 million and worked it back to construction costs of 9 million, which includes everything Brandon showed you there, as well as our friends at Emmerich, our contractor's fee. It did include for a 15% contingency at the time. It also included for the corporate activity tax that came into implementation January of this year, as well as other bonds and state requirements that we have to follow as part of our construction cost. The next portion, the 1.5 million, that's for having the pleasure of Brandon and myself and you know, all the other third party inspections and due diligence that we have to do as part of this project. We've allocated 500,000 for permits, SDC fees, all that good stuff that we're starting to work through right now as a team, and those costs will be updated as we move forward to getting final building permit. The last component there, you'll see $400,000 was our allocation for not only the furniture and the fittings, telephones, that kind of thing, as well as audiovisual and security fit out in the building. So that's how we got to
Hey, Jerry?
Yes.
Are we getting any PEG money for this, Katie?
No.
We haven't?
No, not for this building.
Why not?
Because we will not be streaming on the cable TV through this building.
Oh, sorry. I was in the other building. My head is in the wrong place. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So that got us to our 11.4. That's what we moved forward with. The next slide, our first cost that we got back from our contractor just after schematic design, which is SD, was released in February. Our numbers that came back in just beginning of March indicated that based on the design that at that stage, we were looking at 11.2 million construction cost, which would put us 2.2 million over our target of 9 million, obviously. So as a team, a collective team, we started to work back to see, you know, what scope could be eliminated, reductions, try and bring our budget back in play. So Brandon touched a little bit earlier about removing the carports. We do have the infrastructure in place to do that scope at a later date. But for the majority of that work generated a saving of $180,000. And to the team, it was a no-brainer to take at this stage. We also talked earlier a little bit about relocating the truck wash station from outside the building into the building and finding a home for it there. Generated a sizable saving, $150,000. Continuing in the warehouse, the original intent was to provide as much kind of prefabricated mezzanine storage options as possible. That also included some additional office space, I believe, for two of the employees who are currently using the facility. Brandon and his team managed to find them a home inside the actual office space, and therefore eliminating the need for the kind of mezzanine and storage space. We do still hold some money in the budget for some storage. I think it's roughly about $60,000, so it should be suffice for immediate needs, but it still generated quite a sizable saving. We looked at the fleet. The fleet, I think, costs overall was roughly about $706,000. John kind of touched a little bit on fleet earlier, and we'll get into that in a second, but initial review of scope, you know, we looked at the heating requirements, the lighting requirements, the kind of the walls, the finishes, the insulation, for reducing that scope, and it generated about $200,000. Inside the office space, we had a lot of casework and storage space identified on the drawings that was going to be part of the construction. Working this through with both the team from City of Oregon City as well as the final users, we eliminated a lot of that scope. We do cover enough, I think, storage for immediate needs in the FF&E budget, but we managed to shave off $100,000, which was quite sizable. The last item on this particular slide, it might look like a small dollar value, but I just want to emphasize that in order to get back to our 9 million or as close as possible, we looked at every component, including alternate finishes on the outside of the office space and the warehouse. It's 20 grand, but it's something. I think the idea there is that we reduced a little bit of the metal panel and replaced it with cement fiber panels instead. We ran this past Denise Conrad and her team to make sure that we weren't going to give her some issues further on down the road. And as a team, collective agreement that we could take this saving. So that alone got us 700.
Jury?
Yes.
So that doesn't change the life cycle of the building, right?
No. This it's a very small component that we're adjusting. I think the life cycle of the painting, the fiber cement boards would be every 5 to 6 years, but the actual metal paneling hasn't changed at all.
All right, thank you.
Good question. Continuing on with the value engineering, we had some detailing for a stormwater harvesting tank. We explored this with the city, and it was one that we could eliminate. The collection that it would have held wouldn't have been enough for any immediate needs. So it was an easy one to take. Site bollards. You'll see there's $65,000 associated with that. That's roughly about 42 bollards. Again, working with the city and the end users, we identified the absolute needs where we would need bollards. It's not as if we're going to leave corners of the building exposed for trucks to drive into them and damage. It's a pretty good saving that we achieved there. We also looked at signage in the building. The contractor has included for all the code minimum signage. We looked at it again, and we managed to save a little bit of money, $10,000. This is related to the actual construction costs. The appliances for $25,000, we had roughly about, I think, 3-4 refrigerators, 4-5 microwaves, a range, dishwashers. We already had that captured in our separate fittings, furnishing, and equipment allowance, so there was a little doubling up there between us and the contractor that we eliminated from the construction costs. Next item was something that was shown on the initial civil drawings, was to relocate the fire department connection. Not needed. We've worked this through with the team. Generated a saving of $10,000. Continuing on into the office spaces, all our wet areas, you know, like our locker rooms, our bathrooms. We looked at an alternate to tile. Right now we're proposing to use F4P, which is a fiberglass reinforced panel. And it generated quite a substantial saving. So at this point in time, we're proceeding with the F4P. Crew rooms had some carpeting in there. Obviously, Vance and his team would love carpets and to keep their toes cozy, but it's an aesthetics that we can do without, and it generated a small saving. The next item.
Jerry, can you pause a second?
Yes.
Hey, Frank, on the alternative tile, did you take a look at that? Commissioner O'Donnell.
His mic's off.
He can still hear, but he's muted.
Frank, unmute yourself.
I find my unmute button. Tonight, we're not going to go into a lot of the details on the interior finish, and I think this is going to be, this summation here is simply about, call it value engineering. You talk in plain language, you can say it's about what did we decide to forego? Which ways did we go versus No, it's going to be what do we take out, and then later you'll see what do we feel we need to put in. But as far as specifics on interior trim, I think that'll be a later presentation.
I understand, but I just wanted to, I knew you've been, you know, looking at all this stuff. My question is there any kind of longevity issues with this tile, from tile to this other substance?
Well, that was discussed among the group with particular attention to long-term maintenance from Denise Conrad and her crew. And all the inputs was that it would not be an effect to our long-term ability to maintain the facility.
All right, thank you. That's all I need.
So moving on down to the site works. We looked at site works, particularly early scope that the contractor would do as soon as he, you know, has his building permit in place and get onto site. Between ourselves, the contractor and the city, we looked at some soil cutting that has to happen for breaking up the asphalt, some tree removal, and the city kindly, John and his team kindly took that one on themselves in order not just to save $25,000, but also if our permit is slightly delayed for any reason, it means that we're, you know, effectively starting the clock a little bit earlier, having some of this prep work done ahead of time, which is tremendous from a schedule point of view. Brandon talked a little bit earlier about the existing loading dock. By the 20,000 we show here is strictly the demolition. We still have some costs that remain in the budget for grading, for substructure work in that area. So some folks might question why it's such a small dollar value. That's just simply to leave the structures in place and not have them removed. And then the final item here was, again, the services drawings, the early MEP drawings, mechanical, electrical, plumbing in particular, in the warehouse area had identified, you know, there's extensive sprinkler system in there that would need to be upgraded. As a team, we looked at it. The numbers that the contractor was carrying could be cut back by 15,000 and still have enough in there to do the upgrades that we're going to have to do. So all that together got us to $1 million, which wasn't a bad start. So we're roughly back to from the 11.2 down to 10.2. So continuing on with the value engineering effort, there was four items that we had identified potentially that we could cut out of scope in order to get us back to closer to our 9 million, if not at our 9 million. The first one is the ramp that we talked about earlier. And thank you, Commissioner O'Donnell, for your input there as well. I know you've been to the site a couple of times to look at this. It's a $50,000 over and above to include for the ramp, the slopes, the handrails. Is it a huge cost? No, it's not compared to the overall scope and scheme of the project. However, it is one that we've identified as potentially it was VE, but it's one that it will have to go into the project one way or another from the results of all our investigation on this. The second item, a Category 4 seismic upgrade and a new roof. So this is specifically for our office space. It's something that I've come across on a number of recent projects. I know Brandon and our contractor, Emmerich, as well, have come across it. The idea here is to keep the office space at a Category 4 so that in the event if something were to happen, this earthquake that everybody's predicting, we would still have an office space that's fully functional, at least vertical, and can be used for any emergencies in the city and the wider region. The cost for the upgrade to keep that at a Category 4 comes with a $500,000 price tag. That's one area. The third item on the list here is the fleet workshop. So, you know, we looked at fleet. I think John commented earlier. You know, the intent is to have fleet here as part of the whole collective on the campus and on the complex, I should say. To do the fleet at a minimum, you know, working through this with Vance and his team, you know, we've had several meetings with the folks that are going to use that area to try and refine the scope as best possible to meet a minimum of what they would need. We've worked it out that it's $650,000 of our overage. The final item, the furniture, info technology, and audiovisual. Back on a couple of slides where I showed you our budget for $400,000, that was pieced together on the basis that we would be able to utilize as much of the existing furniture, tables, chairs, etc., in City Hall and take those with us to the new operations facility. I'm now understanding that that's not the case. And also we've done some market testing as well based on the current design, and all indications that are coming back is that we would probably need about 200K allowance to cover new furniture, all the servers, etc., telephones in the new facility. So those four items alone comes to 1.4 million. The first three would be direct construction costs, and the last item, 200, would go into the overall project budget to be developed by ourselves and the architects. So just on the kind of last slide that I have here, I've just shown where we were originally, what we presented back in February. Obviously, our updated numbers in the red. So going from 9 to 10 million is the 1.2. And then down below here, going from the 400 to the 600, that's the kind of 1.4 add that we're indicating right now. Do you want to answer any of that, John?
That concludes what we wanted to go through tonight. We think we're on the right track. Extensively with our finance team about that difference, that $1.2 million or $1.4 million difference, and I think we'll follow this. I mean, what we're proposing is to kind of follow the same model we followed for other builds, which is interdepartmental loan based on reimbursement through utility funds to cover that. So we're still a self-funded project. Nothing lended here. We basically speak for, or we cover that using future utility funds that would cover that cost. So, the big thing to me is we've heard a lot from the commission about reuse, and this is the ultimate reuse of a existing facility. I think our layout is something that we're going to be very happy with for a very, very long time. We do maximize the use of this site. I still see a need for, we need to figure out how we're going to store some of that seasonal equipment, bin storage, decant facility, those kind of things. And we're open to that. It doesn't have to happen on Center Street, but I think for the short term, which could, the Oregon City short term would be maintain a facility on Center Street, but we've kind of come to the conclusion that that doesn't need to include the upper yard. So we are right at 7 o'clock. I don't know if you have okay. A lot of conversation.
I have a couple of things to say. And let me tell the rest of the commission, if you're muted, you can hold down your space key and turn your mic on without remuting yourself. So I guess the big question is, John, you have a ton of wasted space at the yard behind the reservoir that you could use for bin storage and a lot of other things. If you took out a bunch of that grass that's right up against the reservoir, you'd have a ton of space for bin storage and other things. And you've got a lot of room you could store equipment that doesn't need to be undercover. So, I think you got to really still be looking at, you're not going to get Center Street. Questions from the other commissioners?
Nope.
Mr. O'Donnell, I can't see you.
Oh, you will, but nothing from me.
Okay, then we're done with this, unless you have something else, Mr. Manager.
No, sir.
All right, then we'll come back in 10.
Thank you for your time.
Good job, everyone. Thank you.